Jesus is the only way to have peace with God. Though there is only one way to God, everyone's journey to Jesus is unique and magnificent. Here is a story of one's journey to Christ, now on Redemption Report. Welcome to the next Redemption Report podcast episode. Today we have my Aunt Becky joining us all the way from South Carolina. So thank you for coming all this way and joining us.
Absolutely.
Now you're in the middle of an epic road trip, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Where'd you start, and can you list a few of the places that you've gone over the last...
Sure. Yeah, we started in Greenville, South Carolina, and that was 2 weeks ago, tomorrow, actually. And we went from there to Alabama, and we spent a night there, and then we were in Louisiana, and then we saw your brother, Andrew, in Texas, and then we took off and camped in Texas, and then a couple of places in Colorado, and ended up at your mom's on Wednesday, and we went to all different sorts of things with your mom. Yeah. Mount Rushmore and Pikes Peak and all that. And then we headed out on Sunday. We were in Kansas the first night, and then Missouri last night. And then we'll be in Kentucky and then head home.
Yeah, if you weren't close to the 50 states, you'll be really close after that. Yeah, I know I pulled up the Find My app on my phone where I could see where my mom's at, and it seemed like she was, like you said, always somewhere different in the period that you guys were together. Yeah. So, yeah, that's a lot. Are you looking forward to stop being in motion for a little bit, getting home?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I enjoy being home and ready to get home. So I feel like I'm missing stuff going on with my kids and all. So.
Yeah. Well, if you could tell us just a little bit about who you are. I know you because of the family connection, but like... I know you have several children. Can you just tell us a little bit about who Becky Lilly is?
Well, I was born in Vermont, and I lived there in New England area for many years, and then came to Bob Jones University in 1983, and really has not changed living there. Got married there 33 years later, 8 children.
When you went to college, did you know you were moving there for the rest of your life?
No, but I really enjoyed the state. I enjoyed the variety of weather.
Yeah.
And, but I met Jim, and we decided to stay, and we enjoyed the area. And God just led us through finding a house, and then all the children, and different jobs. And he just has kept us going ever since then, and we still have the same house, and our children are close. Last two just graduated, so we're living life like traveling now.
Yeah.
So it's been good.
Yeah. So for those that don't know, Jim is your husband, who's my mom's brother, so that's where the connection comes in.
Yes.
So very cool. So growing up in Vermont, I can't remember if I've actually visited it. That might be one of my states on my bingo card that hasn't been crossed off yet. But what was life like growing up? Like, can you explain a little bit about your family dynamic?
It was a rural area and very much near the mountains. And most roads probably at that time were still dirt roads.
Wow.
So we went to, my mom and dad were believers, and we went to church all my life. We went to a Christian school about second grade. It was a bunch of people got together and decided that Christian education was important. Mm. So one-room schoolhouse with 20, 25 students from second grade to fifth grade, I think. And then we expanded to first grade, kindergarten. Mm. And then after that, it was, the school was getting too large. And so my home church opened up its doors, classrooms, and things like that. So it expanded from there. And I believe the school is still in existence. So,
okay, wow.
But yeah, Vermont is a beautiful place to live. My parents lived there. My parents were born in Massachusetts. My mom was born in Maine. So I grew up in that neck of the woods, and school is what brought me south to South Carolina.
I would say, talk about culture shock. Yeah. I'm sure that's...
Oh, yes. It was very different. Very different. When you say, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, it was very sarcastic to me.
Okay.
When I went to the South, because you didn't do that in the North. You were, you know, you'd be ready to get hit by mm-hmm. a ruler or something mm-hmm. because you don't say that to people. So... It was yeah. just different.
And if you don't say it down south, then it's oh, the yeah. exact same reaction just right. on the other side.
Right. Yeah. It was totally different.
Yeah. So it sounds like you grew up in church with your parents mm-hmm. both being followers of Christ. So I know I realize that might be kind of difficult to remember, but can you remember the first time you heard the gospel presented, or the first time it made sense to you? Or
yeah, we had a, I can't remember the type of ministry it was mm-hmm. kind of like, you know, a VBS for a week or something sure. like that. And I remember sitting in the big group time, and the message just sounded really, really good. And I just raised my hand and went back and sat in the back of the church, and she said, "Now, do you understand what you just heard?" And she had us repeat in our own mm-hmm. words, which was cool because, you know, to me it made sense to have the child repeat what they heard, not that they were going along with the whole crowd.
Right.
So, and I prayed and asked God, and I remember distinctly getting into the car with my mom, and my sister goes, "You did not accept Christ. I told you you accepted Christ way back, you know, like I did that for you." And I'm like, no. So from there, it was a journey of just growing, understanding how God died for me and rose again, giving me eternal life. And it was just a significant, mm-hmm. and I can look back and see how my life, he drew me in.
Yeah.
I can see how he drew me in. Yeah. And it was, it's been a great journey.
Yeah. And you were how old when that took place?
I think I was somewhere around 7 or 8 years old.
7 or 8. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I like how you explain that, where often people will say, "Well, I don't understand enough," or, you know, but you knew just enough to believe, and then yes. you learn kind of the ramifications of that after the fact,
right.
and that's perfectly acceptable if someone doesn't have to have it all figured out. Like, they can just understand
right.
what they need to yeah. say, I need Jesus, and yeah. then, okay, that's what this element means, or that's how right. this works, so.
Right.
Very cool. So, after accepting Christ at a young age, what obviously there wasn't a ton that probably needed to radically change in your life, unless there's some deep, dark secrets you're not sharing. Yeah. But what took place in your life, or how do you think that believing at that young age changed the trajectory of your life at that point?
I think I probably more of a type of a secret type person. So the conviction in my heart when I would veer off or feel like I knew that, you know, I wasn't heading in the right direction, and the Spirit would, you know, either help me get caught or help me feel the pressure or the conviction of having him in my heart that, you know, made me, you know, want to change. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until probably 11, 12, maybe 13 years old, where, like, I really wanted to live for him, not okay. just be saved so I go to heaven, but really live for him. And it was a big conference, and the message, the music, everything all gelled together, and I realized that that's when I really wanted. So back then they called it rededication, but I look at it as, you know, that's where I really decided, man, this is what mm-hmm. I'm doing. Now, yes, have I failed between now and where I am now, and I still do, but he is so lovingly bringing me back in and, you know, showing me where I'm wrong mm-hmm. and helping me pursue him and as he pursues me.
Yeah, yeah. It's an interesting dynamic when you accept Christ as your Savior as a child, which same thing for right. me as well, that when you get saved at a young age, you still have your whole life ahead of you, and so a majority of your sin actually occurs after salvation.
Right.
That, you know, in the last episode, I shared my story, and I shared that exact same thing, where it's like, sometimes people have this false impression that, oh, you got saved, so now you can't sin, or now you have complete control. And like, you do have control, you have that decision, but you're still growing and developing, and sin is certainly common. And so, but I think what you do have, to your point, is you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, which can point out when you need to stop doing something, or, hey, you're going down a dark path, like, come back to the light. That definitely is beneficial. So upon accepting Christ and, you know, kind of dedicating your life, what have you observed in your life as something like one of your greatest joys in life from accepting Christ, whether it be at that time or since, that if you hadn't known Christ, you wouldn't have experienced the same joy?
Boy, there's been so many joys in following him. It's just the day-to-day. I'm having 8 children. They're all close, you know, 8 children, 9.5 years. Many exhausting, tiring, you know, not sleeping at night.
You say that again. You said 8 children in 9.5 years.
Yeah,
make sure everybody hears that correctly.
So the journey of experiencing God moment by moment, day by day. Jim and I were just talking about how the Holy Spirit just really comes in there. And for me, there are moments where there are things that I probably physically would have missed if the Holy Spirit hadn't said, pay attention to that, you know. And knowing that even when there were times where I couldn't, my moments with him were very short and quick. 5 minutes here, or, you know, if I was in the bathroom, had some time in the bathroom to be able to just breathe a little bit.
That's valuable time, right?
Yeah, in more ways than one. It's just that type of dynamic where I knew that he was there for me, that he was holding me, that he was guiding me, that he, you know, I mean, physical strength, the ability to love and forgive and navigate and be the, you know, person who settles arguments. And, you know, there were moments where I'm like, Lord, I can't do this. I can't do this. And he's like, just tell him to go outside. Go outside. Everybody outside. Give me a minute. Give mommy a minute, you know. So during those times, though, were great joy because, you know, I enjoy my children. I enjoyed being their mother. I enjoyed parenting them. Seeing them now is such a joy, and God has called me to that. I know he called me to be the mom of 8 children.
Yeah.
So,
and as you mentioned, they still all pretty much live in the same area.
Yes.
So you get,
So I get to see them quite often. In fact, they get together when we're not in town. So that makes me even feel better because they're still close enough that it's not because of us that they get together. They get together because they want to be with each other. So that that is true blessing for a parent to be able to have close children. So
we're not as far down the road as you are with only having 2 children, and I don't know that we'll be able to squeeze several more in that same time period. We're not sure if we want to either, but what I do know from just having the 2 and the time of this recording, one being 6 weeks old, that comfort is really true. You know, we were joking over dinner, like, if we can just only have 1 child crying, that's a win. But, you know, when you have multiple children crying, or just they won't stop crying, or you, but knowing that God is there and he is your comfort, I can't imagine what it would be like without that. Or you can understand why people really do some crazy things or really struggle when they don't have that, because it's hard enough when you do have Christ helping you. It's not like it just alleviates everything.
It's definitely not perfect.
Well, in your time of following Christ, you know, everyone goes through either seasons of discouragement or doubt, or they face challenges that because of following Christ they face, whereas if they weren't following Christ they may not have faced. So if someone was to be talking to you about following Christ, what would you say are some of the things they need to count the cost, or some of the challenges that you've experienced as a result of following Christ?
With some of my children, you know, some of their choices, and I go went directly to scripture, and I'm like, Lord, okay, so what am I supposed to do with this? How am I supposed to work? And he would specifically give me a specific passage, one with my eldest. There was a situation that happened, and it just totally, like, oh my goodness, what am I supposed to do with that? Yeah. And he led me to a specific passage, Isaiah 40, and I read through that whole thing, and he's like, I'm big. These nations that are all around this world are drops in a bucket compared to how big I am.
Yeah.
So rest in me. And the end of the passage is, you know, they that wait on the Lord will renew their strength. So in reading that and him carrying me through, so I'm like, okay. So step by step, he led every bit of that challenge. And knowing that I have that resource, knowing that I have that relationship, you know, our Christianity is a relationship. God's not asking us to do religious mm-hmm. stuff. It's not a do or don't, or you do these 10 things and you're a good Christian.
Right.
No, it's not that. It's a relationship. And if I hadn't have built that relationship with God, maybe he would have probably done some of the guiding, or I would have maybe thought that that was his hand, but I knew it was his hand mm-hmm. because of the relationship that I had. So in the struggles, because there are going to be, the world is nasty. The world is not fair. And we're born in this world. Mm-hmm. But God gives us a way out. Every time that there's a challenge, there is going to be a way out.
Right.
And he provides, he protects, he guides. And there's no better way to live mm-hmm. than to be a follower of Christ.
Right. Yeah, I like how you pointed to that passage in Isaiah 40, because most people have seen it back when Christian bookstores were big. You know, see it crocheted on a pillow or on a little sign to hang on your wall or something like that. And that passage of, you know, waiting on the Lord, renew your strength, mount up like wings, like you, that's all at the end, like you said, but it gets so much more powerful when you consider the beginning of that mm-hmm. chapter where you're talking about,
yes,
hey, there's a lot of difficult stuff that goes on both in the world and in our personal lives. And knowing that that's who God is, that he's in control of all of that, gives us the ability to wait. Because sometimes some of those commands can just, or those, even those promises can just kind of get thrown out at people and just kind of like, well, I guess I have to wait. But like, if we don't have that time to study, like you said, like consistently going through and learning and then, taking that time to read in God's word and read the entirety of God's word, not just cherry pick, you're going to be able to see those mm-hmm. types of things. And I think that's cool. Like you mentioned earlier, the Holy Spirit being in you illuminates that for you.
Right.
That's so special at that very exact time that you needed it. And some people might just read that and be like, okay, that means nothing to me, but that was God illuminating it for you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
What, if someone was to hear your story, what would be one takeaway you'd want to leave them with? Say, after hearing my story, I want to leave you with something. What would that be?
If you feel the nudge of God, step into it, follow him, and be willing to become a follower of Christ, because you will not be sorry. Hmm. I tell my kids all the time, if God is leading you in a direction and you are scared or you don't know, go with it. And follow him, because you will not be sorry. He will take care of you. He promises to take care of you. And there's no better life than to be a follower of Christ.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
No, that's well said. I think sometimes people get too worried about what they should listen to, but if you just be still and know and take time to learn, then God definitely reveals himself.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much for taking time to share. And I think it's been cool to get to know you a little better.
Yeah.
You know, unless you're intentional about these type of conversations, even though I've known you for
years.
I don't know that I've ever heard several of those parts of your story. So thank you for sharing.
Yes, absolutely.
When someone comes to Christ, there is much excitement that accompanies their conversion. These initial feelings cannot be sustained purely on emotion alone, but regular time spent learning about and pursuing one's Savior will result in deeper levels of joy. Colossians 2:6-7 says, "So then, just as you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to walk in him, being rooted and built up in him and established in the faith,
just as you were taught and overflowing with gratitude. Becky shared that her time of communion in God in both prayer and scripture meditation have been pivotal to her spiritual walk. The great levels of encouragement, satisfaction, and peace that Becky has experienced throughout her life have been made possible by her consistent investment in her relationship with Jesus, which continues to grow as she seeks to share her love for Christ with the next generations. I trust her story encouraged you to continue pursuing after Christ and building a stronger relationship with Him daily. On the next episode, we'll hear from Becky's husband, Jim, on how Christ changed his life. For more content or ways to contact me directly, visit twareproductions.com. Be sure to like this video, and we'll see you next week on Redemption Report.